class today. Glad to see you all back. I hope you had an enjoyable spring break and snow day. Before we begin, any comments, questions, or concerns, or other things for me? Yes. For the homeworks, do you have to have a different partner for each paired homework? Yes, you do. Yep. So at least 5 and 6 will be different. We may let you reuse something for 7. We'll see. Other questions? Yes. How long should homework 5 take? It took me about 2 hours. To like solve the whole thing. Yeah. Design, write, post, describe. Other questions? Yes. Is the seventh one paired? So unclear. Might be. We'll make that decision when we get closer to it. Yes.
You say paired program, does that mean you want those partners, basically part of the same computer?
Does pair program mean you're both looking at the same screen? Yes, it does. The core understanding of pair programming is two minds with one focus. If you're thinking about different things, you're not properly pairing. If you're incapable of working with somebody else for a homework assignment, shame on you, but it's better to work solo than to split the work. Splitting the work will not prepare you for the exam. Yes? Is it possible to request a partner from another lab? No, because they're going to use some lab time to work on the homework. And also because it's a lot easier for us to manage lab partner difficulties if one lab TA or one pair of lab TAs can handle them by themselves. Other questions? Well, since we seem to be talking about the homework, let's talk about the homework. All right, so what's this homework doing? You're creating what's called the purple map. Similar to the red-blue map that is created for every election by the news outlets, but with shades of purple. Okay, we're actually also going to do a version that's partially transparent so that the opacity of a particular region will be dependent upon its population, so places that only have a few votes don't show up very bright. Hey, this assignment is a bunch of methods. None of them are a main method. You are welcome to write a main method if you want to test things out. But we're just asking you to write methods. We will test your methods independent of any particular main method. That means there are no example inputs and outputs in general. And so one of the things you'll want to do is how can you tell if a particular method works? Okay? So we describe what it's supposed to do. You'll probably want to write your own main method that tries it out and sees if it is doing the right thing. Then we'll talk a little bit about that as we go forward. So there are 6 methods in this assignment, all in one class. The first method, read CSV. Given a scanner, a delimiter, and an int, we'll talk about the int in a moment, read everything that was in that CSV file, represented by this scanner, into an array list of arrays of strings. So an array of strings for one row of the CSV file, a list that has all of those rows. Okay? When you're splitting your strings, you're going to use delimiter to split with. It might not be a semicolon in general. Could be any delimiter. And you're also given a minimum number of cells per row. If a row of the CSV file has fewer cells than that, don't put it into the list. Okay, so if that's a 2 and you have a row that only has 1 cell or an empty row, you don't put it into the list. Okay? Second one, get a row. So given an array list of strings created by that previous method, presumably, and given one string, the goal is to return the row, the array of strings, the first one in the array list that starts with that string. Okay? So sort of a way of looking up a particular row in your CSV file based on the first column. So you're given the list, you're given the string to look for in the first cell, and you return the entire row out of the array list. The next one does some weird math and creates color objects. Color objects are documented on the Java API. They're pretty straightforward. Pretty much all you ever use them for is constructors. Okay? But for this one, you're going to be given a number of votes. So how many people voted for the red candidate, how many for the green candidate, how many for the blue candidate. There will also be this opaque parameter, which is described there. You will use a little bit of math that is described right there to create the red, green, blue, and alpha that you will pass into the color constructor. Okay? So there's a bit of multiplication, a bit of division, there's some clamping, so if the math gives you a negative 3.4, you will turn that into a 0 because you have to be in the 0 to 255 range. Okay? So you do that math, you create the values, you plug them into color constructor, you turn it. Should be pretty straightforward. This will create the right color for every little region inside our map later on. Next one, max votes per square kilometer. This one is going to analyze a CSV file that has already been parsed into an array list of string arrays. And the goal of this is to find a particular piece of information given the way this array list is built. So the idea is this is going to come from a CSV file that has rows where you have the name of a region. So in this example, we have EX1, EX2, EX3. In general, it will be something like VA-Albemarle or something. It'll be a state and a county. Okay. The next thing will be the area of that region in square kilometers, not that the square kilometers matters. And then it'll be the number of votes for the red, blue, and green candidate. And the goal is to find out which region has the highest votes per area and return that votes per area. So in this example, the first region, EX1, has 10 square kilometers and a total of 60 votes. So it has 6 votes per square kilometer. The next region has 5 square kilometers and a total of 35 votes. So it has 7 votes per square kilometer. The last one has 10 square kilometers and a total of 35 votes. So it has 3.5 votes per square kilometer. The biggest of those is 7, so you return 7 as the answer for this method. Okay, so given the data, run through it, find the biggest number of votes per square kilometer of any of the regions in the data. Next, also understanding a CSV file, a different CSV file. Okay, so we have, again, an array list of strings from the parse CSV. We have an int, we'll talk about the int in a moment. Let's talk about what the region's data looks like. This will be generally a very large CSV file, where you will have some rows with 2 elements and some rows with 3. If they are 3, they are the name of a region, the number of points around the border of the region, and the area of the region. Okay? So, for example, Falls Church, Virginia can be represented with 8 points and is approximately 5.2 square kilometers. And then, following a row with 3 will be several rows of 2 that are the points around the boundary. These points will be, the x point is longitude, the y point is not actually latitude because we want uniform area, but it's similar to latitude. Okay, so we have a set of points that define the boundary of Falls Church, Virginia. Okay, the goal of this method is you are given the start of a region. So you're given an int that represents a particular row that is the start of a region. It represents a 3-element row. And your goal is to return a polygon which contains all the points of that region. So all of the 2-element cells after that. Okay? You'll create this using a polygon class. There is a polygon class built into Java, but it only accepts integers, so I made my different one that allows doubles. You can download this. The polygon class is very simple. There are only 2 interesting methods. New, we're all familiar with creating objects. And then there is add point. You give it an x and y, it adds that point to the polygon. So all you'll have to do is create a polygon, loop through all of the 2-element rows for that region, and add them to your polygon. And return it. And finally, the one that draws a picture. Hey, it's going to use all of the ones before. So it's going to take in 2 data sets. Okay, it's got the votes data and the regions data. It's got a file name to save the image to, and it has a special brightening parameter to make the map more opaque. Okay? So, what happens here? The first thing you're going to have to do is make an image object. There are images built into Java, but none of them are designed so that you can put points wherever you want and see the picture. So I made a special scaling image class that will automatically scale to fit whatever points you put in it on the screen, so you don't have to worry about finding the right region. So you'll make one of these. You can download it. You create it with this line of code right here. And then there are just four methods. You can erase it with a particular color. You can fill a particular polygon with a particular color. You can display the image so you can see what's going on, or you can save it as a file name. Okay? So this is provided. So you want to make one of these, you want to fill a bunch of polygons, and then you want to save it. You also want to display it so you can see what's going on, most likely. So we have the regions data, the votes data. What's going on? Regions data, you're just going to look at every single region, one region at a time, get its polygon using the method that we wrote for creating polygons from a region. Also get the number of votes in that region. How are you going to do that? You're going to look up the region name in the votes data using the method that looks up a particular row of a data set. Okay? That's going to give you some votes in an area. You're going to use that to invoke the purplify method. Then there's a little conversation about how you pick the opacity number. Okay, so how you decide how opaque it should be, and it's described there. There's some special things you do with the brighten value so that you can see less dense cities. Okay, you'll also need to use the max votes per square kilometer as part of that computation. Okay, so you're going to use all the other methods to figure out what the color is from Purplify, and then you're just going to have to fill that polygon with that color and move on to the next one. And that's the class, those six methods. There are two example main methods that will draw pictures if you've completed the entire assignment. And you can tweak them, of course. We're not asking you to submit any particular main method. You can, we will ignore it. We give you a data set, we'll look at the data set in a moment. And then you can run the data set, and you can walk through this. There's not a whole lot interesting going on here. You're reading some CSV files and calling the maps you created, and you'll get nice pictures like this. This is how the state of Virginia voted in a 2012 presidential elections. And you can see that most of the state of Virginia doesn't have very many people compared to the densely populated parts. And you can see what areas voted red or blue based on this map. And you could also do something for the whole planet, or a whole country rather, not the whole planet. The 48 contiguous states, actually, because Alaska and Hawaii just get messy if you try to draw them. You can draw this, and you can realize that in 1968, it was actually a three-candidate election, and most of the Deep South voted for neither Republican nor Democrat. Woohoo! So you can run this data. So that's the whole project. Questions about the project? Homework assignment. Okay, let's talk just briefly about the data. We give you a bunch of data in a zip file here. Okay? So I'm going to open this data file. It's a zip file, so inside of it is a folder. Depending on what operating system you're running, it'll automatically open it or save it somewhere. You'll want to copy this data folder into your Eclipse folder, which means I have to open up because they've disabled all the easy ways. So you'll need to copy that data folder into your Java project, but not into the source folder. Where did I put my Java project? So if I go into my Java project, so I want to drag the data file to be next to the source file, and then you'll have all of that data if you want to use it. Technically, you can finish this homework assignment without using the data, but it's really hard to test. So I'd encourage you to download the data. Wow, this is taking a long time to unzip. There are a lot of data sets here. So for each of the contiguous 48 states, we have outlines for every single one of their counties, and we have how each county voted in every election from 1960 to 2012. So you're welcome to look at different pictures if you want, once it works. You will work on this in pairs. If you don't have a pair, we'll make sure the rest of you get pairs during lab tomorrow. Any questions about the homework? Okay. Let's talk briefly about the schedule then. We had snow! Again. We missed three classes. This has made me push things around. Some things have vanished from the schedule. This is the current schedule. So we have 4 days we're going to talk about classes. Today, Friday, Monday, and Wednesday. This will give you an understanding of how classes work. We will also do a lab on them on the Thursday, the 27th. We will then have a test as originally scheduled. We did not move the test. Then we'll talk about some more advanced class topics afterwards and move on to some other topics thereafter. So that's what's coming up, just so it's not a surprise. Homework 5 is out right now. It is due next week. But the next one, it doesn't come until after the test again. And that will be an even bigger project that you'll have several weeks to work on. So that's coming up. So the remaining time today, I want to introduce you to the idea of classes. So, classes. Thus far, we have seen that Java has a variety of types. It has 8 primitive types, has arrays, and has classes. Okay? So everything that's not a primitive and not an array is made out of a class. And we're going to learn how to write classes today. So string and scanner and all these things that we URL and so on, file, all of these things are classes that somebody wrote as a Java file. Okay, you can actually get the source of all of them if you're ever curious about how you implement string. It's there. You can get it. So we're going to learn how to implement these ourselves. The basic idea of a class is we're going to add a new type to the language, and we're going to define it in terms of the types that are already there. So the primitives or other classes other people wrote will be used to create our class. So you just make a new class, and I need to give my class a name. So we can use any arbitrary noun for the example here. Somebody give me a noun. Who wants to give me a noun? Something we're going to model in Java that isn't already in Java. Anyone? I can think of a noun.
Spaceship.
Sorry?
Spaceship.
Spaceship. Spaceship is one word, right? So I won't capitalize the ship. Okay, so I have a spaceship class. Now, when I'm defining a class, the basic element of what I want to do is I want to describe what do I know about spaceships? What is the state, the information I know about spaceships? How can I define a spaceship? What's something I might know about spaceships?
Material.
Material. Okay, what type of thing would material be? No, but what Java type? How about we just say the string, it's a string material. We'll worry about what it should be later. Okay, so we're going to say every spaceship has a material. Anything else spaceships have?
Size.
What type of thing is size?
Int.
Okay, so all spaceships have a size and they're always integer size. Anything else spaceships should have?
Destination.
A destination. What type of thing should a destination be?
String.
Also a string. Okay. All right, so we have a lot of strings here. All right, so we can keep going. We can define our class as describing all spaceships have these pieces. And at its core, this is all a class is. It is a collection, a set of other things. We name them. They've got other types. They already exist. And we can build things out of this. Right, so we might think of a string probably has an array of characters underneath, right? May have some other information as well. But we can just define what do we mean by a spaceship. Let's also make a class where we use this. Okay, so let's say use spaceship, because I'm very creative with my names. All right, so I have a spaceship class. Now that I have a spaceship class, I can use spaceship. So I can make a spaceship. What should I call my spaceship? I think there's one called Discovery, isn't there? So I can make myself a new spaceship. I can make another new spaceship. Okay, I can make as many spaceships as I want. And each one of these spaceships has inside of it a material, a size, and a destination. So I can, for example, say discovery.size equals, how big is discovery, do we think? How about discovery is 17? I don't know what the units are for our size here. So I can look at the size of Discovery. I can look at the size of Voyager separately. I can decide that Voyager is a whole lot bigger than Discovery if I want. And I can print things out. Okay. So I can write my code that uses these spaceships I just designed. Each one of them has their own copy of those types of things underneath. And they're bundled up. We can give them around. This is the core idea of what classes are. Collections of pieces of things to describe a new type. Usually, in addition to having a set of attributes or fields, these things that we know about them, a class will also have methods, things that a spaceship can do. So what's something a spaceship can do? Fly. Okay, so I can make, what do we think is returned when you fly a spaceship? Hydrogen? Water? No, oh, we'll say void. Okay, so we can fly our spaceship. Do we need to give it any parameters to fly a spaceship? What does it mean to fly a spaceship? What happens when you fly a spaceship? Does any of these things we do change? Oh dear. Okay, so I can't represent what happens when you fly a spaceship. How about paint a spaceship with a new string material? I can write methods that do things to my spaceship. I could paint my spaceship with a new material if materials could be applied by paint. When I'm writing methods inside a class, the idea is they're going to modify this object, whatever object I call the method on. And so inside a method, I have access to the special this variable. This variable talks about the object I am using the method on. Okay? So I can access that. I can change this is material to match the material that was passed in. Okay. I can write other methods to do interesting things. I also might find as I'm writing methods, I really do want to be able to fly the spaceship. But to fly the spaceship, I need to have some idea of where it is. So I might end up adding more fields or attributes, more information about the spaceship in order for my methods to work. But the basic idea of a class, we define the fields or attributes. We define the methods, and then anywhere we want to, we can use those things. Okay? So I can paint my spaceship red as my new material, because everybody knows that red is material, right? So I can use the various methods and attributes of my class however I want. This is the basic idea of the code. Any questions about this basic idea? We'll get into the details of how it all works in a moment, but any questions that have come up so far? Yes?
This.
Okay, so over here, I had Discovery and Voyager were two different spaceships, right? When I am running the paint method, how do I know if I'm running it on Voyager or Discovery?
I don't.
So Java supplies this. This is a variable that talks about the spaceship that is running the paint method. Okay, so it is a variable. Its type is the same as the type of the class, so it's a spaceship variable. And it is talking about this spaceship, whichever one happens to be running. So around here where I invoke Voyager.paint, this will be talking about Voyager. If I were to also invoke Discovery.paint, blue, okay, then when discovery.paint is run, paint will run again, but this will be talking about Discovery instead of Voyager. So it's a way of keeping track of which one. We'll talk a lot more about that on Monday, I guess. Yes?
Is that supposed to be a private access?
Should these be private? Should this be private? No. So we'll talk about private here in just a moment. So hold that thought. Several things I did here are not the way we usually do them, and we'll see that in just a moment. I just wanted to get you a feel for what we're talking about with the code first. Okay, let's switch gears. When we design classes, we usually start by drawing things called UML class diagrams. That name is not important to me. They are boxes with three boxes inside. In the top box, you put the name of the class, then you put a list of the fields, then you put a list of the methods or behaviors, okay? So, I might say spaceship is the name of my class, okay? And then I want to say, what do I know about it? So I have material. And what else did I have about my spaceship? Size and destination. Okay? So I list the fields of my spaceship, and I list the methods, things I want to be able to say. So I might want to be able to paint with a new material. I might want to be able to fly. Maybe that doesn't require anything, I don't know. I might want to be able to, whatever we do with our spaceships, purchase for some amount of money, I don't know, right? We come up with the methods that we think are associated with it and the fields. And we start describing what we mean by the spaceship class before we write any code. This is a fairly important step. If you start with code, you end up in a jam. It's not hard to write the code, but it's a lot easier to think in terms of what do I want to have be possible with my spaceships before I write the code. So we usually start with these diagrams. Again, the three parts: the class name, the list of all the fields or attributes we have in it, and the list of methods or behaviors of the class in question. There are all kinds of rules, so to speak, about how you write these things. Okay? We're pretty much going to ignore them all. You put fields in the first box, methods in the second box, and as long as I can understand what you're talking about, we're good. Okay? So there are versions that say, for example, you should always put as a colon after the thing the type it is. Okay? Or we might also say instead, you know what, we don't like that, we want to put the type in front like we would in Java. Okay? And then there are people that are really particular about putting pluses or minuses in front of things and so on. You'll see some of this in the book. I don't care. If I know what it means, we're good enough. Let's move on to further classes. We'll talk more about the discipline of writing these correctly. It is common, though, to include the types in some fashion so that we know what you're talking, so we know what the result of these things are. And it looks like right now all of mine are void. Okay? So we have this basic idea. Spaceship, not the best example for going into this. We're going to pick a much simpler idea. Actually, the same one the book uses. We're going to spec out the idea we want for rectangle. Okay? So let's make ourselves a rectangle class. What is interesting stuff about a rectangle? Fields or attributes, what do these mean? The things that makes one different from another. What distinguishes one rectangle from another rectangle? Or what could change about a rectangle? Anyone, sorry. Yes?
Length.
Width. Anything else?
Color.
Is that it? Fine if it is. Alright, so we say rectangles have a length, a width, and a color. That's all they have. It turns out there's actually a built-in type of rectangle in Java. It does not have color, and it does have things that aren't length and width, but that's okay. We'll just look at length and width. Okay? And color. Given that, we then sort of create what are some methods we might want to know about our rectangle. So what can rectangles do, or what can we do to rectangles? What methods or actions do we associate with rectangle? Area. Okay, how is area a method? Usually, when we write our methods, we write them as verb phrases. Okay? So we typically write our fields or attributes as noun phrases, our methods as verb phrases, to keep track of the idea that one of them is things they have, one of them is things they're doing. Yeah? All right, get perimeter. Yeah? Set area. Okay. Interesting idea. What would need to be passed into set area?
Two integers?
Area is just one number, right? I think it is. That's actually a good question. Do we want length or width to be int, or do we want them to be double? I want them to be int. I want them to be double. Double wins. Because there are more hands in the air.
Yeah.
Okay, so that means that get area is going to return a double. Get perimeter is going to return a double. Set area would take a double, right? And probably be void. Okay. Other methods, other things that we should, actions we associate with rectangles. Yeah.
Set dimensions.
Okay. So I might have a set dimensions, which I guess would take two doubles. Anything else? Okay, how about Boolean? Oops. Ah. Boolean, I cannot type on this computer. Boolean is larger than. So we can find out if one rectangle is larger than another rectangle. It either is or it isn't, right? So we can make this method. We can make as many methods as we want, right? We can make, for example, we'll stop here for a moment. Okay? So we list the methods, the fields, or attributes that we think are interesting for our object. One of the things we want to do as we're doing this is we want to ask ourselves each step along the way, can I do this method using only these fields? Okay? So one of the things we might have realized when we're doing fly for our spaceship is that none of these things change when you fly. So probably our spaceship ought to have some idea of where it is, or maybe how fast it's going, or something like that, right? So sometimes you have to add fields as you decide what the methods are. Another thing you might ask yourself sometimes is, since none of these use the color, do I need the color at all? Okay? So ideas to think about in this early phase. Important to do this in sort of a high level so that you can change things quickly so you don't get bogged down in the details of Java as you're designing your classes. Sometimes as you're going along, you also decide for this class I need another class and so on. We'll talk about some of that stuff on Friday. Questions about these class diagrams? Okay, let's turn rectangle into code. Alright, so I need to make myself a new class. Okay? And we just said that our class is called rectangle. We could see it's called rectangle right here. Okay? And we're just going to convert our class diagram into code. So to do that, I'm actually going to copy and paste what I wrote in my class diagram. Okay? And then we'll fix it so it works. The attributes or fields need to be in the form type name, and they should generally be private. We'll talk about why they should be private a fair amount on Friday, but let me give you sort of a high-level understanding now. One of the problems with having a public field, remember the difference between private and public. Public means other classes can see it. So if I were to make length public, for example, that would mean that any class out there could come in directly and touch my length variable. Which may seem fine, I don't care who looks at the length of my rectangle, but I probably do care who changes it. For example, I probably don't want some random person to come into my rectangle and change the length to a negative number. Unless I know what negative lengths mean, that's probably a bad idea. So typically we make our fields private so that nobody else can touch them, only the rectangle class itself. We'll make our methods public, and we'll make methods that allow them to interact with the fields however they think is appropriate. So we'll make all of our methods public. Okay? We'll need to give them each some implementation, so we'll need some curly braces for each of these. We'll come back to what these curly braces have inside them in a moment. Okay? And the other thing, of course, we'll have to do is name our parameters. So let's name them. Okay. And then we have to actually implement the methods. Describe what happens when you're doing each of these things. So, get area. How do I compute the area of a rectangle? Return this dot length times this dot width. Okay. Spell return correctly. That computes the area. Hopefully that's not news to you. Okay. Now, there are some things to note here about how Java does this. First thing to note, if I leave off the this dot, Java will still compile it, and it will actually even still run it the right way. Most of the time. Okay. You'll notice that Java highlights, or Eclipse rather, not Java, but Eclipse highlights the length and the width in blue. This is trying to suggest that this variable is talking about one of the fields, not one of the local variables, which would be in black. Just a hint Eclipse is giving you. Anytime you see a blue variable, I would encourage you to put this dot in front of it. Because sometimes it won't grab the right place. So putting this dot in front of it every time you use it will simplify your ability to debug your code, which is something we all unfortunately have become familiar with this semester, right? So put this dot in front of any variable that's talking about the class. If you leave it off, Eclipse will guess. It'll usually guess there should be a this dot, but sometimes it'll get it wrong. So we'll put a this dot there. Perimeter is the sum of the length and the width times 2, as I recall. If somebody disagrees with me, I'm happy to take it. It's been many years since I had basic geometry. Okay. So those two are pretty simple. How about set area? How am I going to set the area of my rectangle? Nobody knows. So first off, should I say return anything here? No, because this is a void method. Okay? The purpose of this method is to change the width and the height rather than to return anything. So how do I set the area? Well, first, there's lots of ways I could do this. Let's do something very easy. This.length equals 1. This.width equals area. Is this the best way to set the area? Probably not. Okay? But it is a way to set the area. And we could talk about what's the right implementation of our method depending on what we mean by this method. Okay? But we'll just come up with something for now for this example. This.length equals L. This.width equals W. Return. Okay, so I write some methods. We could change the methods, we could talk about what the right thing to do in the methods is, but the basic idea, very simple. I just copy over the methods, I fill in the bodies to do what I want them to do. One thing worth noting here, I am allowed to use the same name for a local variable or parameter as I use for a field or attribute. Okay? And the this dot is what tells them apart. There are people who suggest that you always write code this way. If you're passing in a parameter that's just going to be set to a field, name it the same thing. There are people who say that's confusing. Never do it. I don't care. Okay? As long as you use this dot everywhere, you should use this dot. Using the same name for a parameter and for a field won't matter. It'll work just fine. Questions about this code? Yes? What is that dot? Good question. What is that? That's an arbitrary name I picked to describe the rectangle that we're being passed in. Okay? I could have named it anything I want. What's a good name for rectangle? How about boxy? Okay? Doesn't matter. I cannot rename this. This is sort of built into Java. You can't change it. It's always this. And that's part of the reason if I'm passing in two objects, I frequently call the other one that because it sort of makes grammatical sense to me. But it's completely just your choice. It doesn't really matter what you call it. You could even call it something really strange like I am getting hungry. Okay? It'll work. Java doesn't care. Not a good idea, of course, to do that because then nobody knows what your code does. But other questions? Yes?
Talk about the set area method.
Yes, what would you like me to say about it?
Why do you set width to area?
Good question. Is this the right way to set the area? I don't know. But will this set the area to the given area? Yes. So I just picked the simplest way I could think of to set the area to the area they provided. I guess we could do other things. Let's make it a square. How about we make it a square? We could change this to be math dot square root of area for both of them. That would also set the area to that area, right? The name set area is underdefined. There's many correct implementations that do different things to my rectangle. So if you wanted a method like set area, you'd probably want some additional constraint. And if I had an additional constraint, I might, for example, describe it up here in a comment. Oh, I've accidentally switched to French. Let me switch back to English. I don't know why this computer occasionally just changes languages on me. So I might describe sets the area to area and makes the shape a square. Okay? There is a standard form of comments in front of a method. Slash star star, you instead of just slash star. If you do this, it'll add all kinds of funky things, or you can describe what you want to have in here. This, I don't care if you know about this, but if you ever want to do this, this will mean that later on you can just mouse over area and the little pop-up will describe what you put in that comment. So if you ever want to be able to document your code, slash star star in front of methods documents code in a nice clean way. So if I wanted to describe what's going on, I could do that. The book talks about this a little bit as well. It's not a topic we're going to test in this course, though. Yes? Almost certainly not. Okay, why would I not put a scanner inside the rectangle? Because that would mean that this method doesn't set the area. This method, so I could make, let's actually make that method. We're going to call it something else. Okay, so we're going to say set area to thing from system in. Okay. Okay, so I can write this method. I could even not have this invoke set. But the problem with this idea is that the correct method name that describes what's actually happening is nasty and ugly, and why would anybody have this method? Right? If you really want to have a method that creates a scanner from system to in and uses it to do something, you can. But make sure your method name tells people that's what you're doing. In general, you don't want to have scanners created in methods that don't have to create scanners. Usually information gets into your class instead via parameters. Okay? When you write a method, information comes in the parameters, goes out the return value. Very rarely do you have a print statement to produce things out. Very rarely do you have scanners to get things in. Methods. Main method frequently will have the scanners and the print ones so that you can interact with the user. But it's usually just the main method that interacts with the user. So let me say the following method is probably bad. Let me say one other thing while I've done this. It's perfectly okay to use one method inside of another method. Okay? So this set area to thing from system.in method is defined in terms of the set area method. That's okay. Okay? Might actually be better. It saves me writing a couple lines of code. You don't have to do that. Yes?
Can your set area method take in length and width and change the area plan?
Can set area take in length and width? Okay. Can set area take in length and width and change the area field like this? Clearly the answer is no. Why not? What is wrong with this code? Yes. It's void. That's okay. I don't have a return statement. Yes. There is no area field. There is no area field. What are area fields? Length, width, and color. None of those is named area, so there is no this.area to set equal to something. Okay? I also cannot do get area, even though get area exists, because get area is a method. It's not an afield. I can't assign to it. I can't even do it. I put parentheses on because I can't assign to anything that isn't either a local variable, a parameter, or a field. Yes? Why don't I just make the field? I certainly can, right? That's actually one of the things Java suggests is create an area field. There's actually a good reason not to make an area field, which is if I have an area field, my state can get inconsistent. Okay? So if I have a length, width, and area, all three as separate fields, then maybe the area is 2 and the length and width are both 5, and that doesn't make sense. So it's a good idea to try to keep your fields in sort of a minimal set, so you don't have to worry about things getting into silly states. You can avoid a whole class of bugs. Okay. Let me... Right, I cannot do this. Let me get rid of it, because I can't do it. Okay? Let me make myself a new class here that's going to use rectangle. And let's talk about one more piece of classes that's important to know, which is constructors. So if I make a rectangle, R equals a new, I can make a rectangle. I can call the various methods. I can print things out. Okay. All that works great. It does exactly what it's supposed to do. But there's a problem in that I cannot create a rectangle of a different dimension. So I'm not allowed to say I want a 2 by 4 rectangle. Won't let me do this. One important piece of the classes we haven't talked about yet is the idea of constructors. How do you make a new object? Okay? So, how do you make a new object? Constructors are added to fields and methods as one of the three basic things you have in a class. And constructor is basically a method. It's a special method used to set up an object. There are several special things about constructors. The first one is that their name is always the same as the name of the class. So if I'm writing the rectangle class, my constructors must be named rectangle. They cannot be named rect, they cannot be named make me, they cannot be named anything else, they must be named exactly the same as the name of the class. The other difference that you'll notice is that where I should put either the return type or void, you put nothing at all for constructors. Okay? So two ways that constructors look different than other things. Same name as the class, no return type. That spot is empty. The purpose of a constructor is then just to do whatever I think ought to happen when you first create a rectangle. Okay? So set up the rectangle to what I think is an appropriate rectangle. Okay? That's the goal of a constructor. Describe how it gets set up initially. You can also have as many constructors as you want as long as each of them take different parameters. I should probably do length first instead of width first, okay? So I can make as many constructors as I want. I can, in general, make as many methods with the same name as I want, as long as the parameter list is distinct, meaning the type and order of the parameters of each one differs. Java has to be able to figure out, just by the types of values you give into the parentheses, which method you're running. So I can have a rectangle that takes nothing, a rectangle that takes two doubles. I can make one that only takes one double, one takes a color. But I can't have two of them that both take the same types of things. Okay? So I can make as many of these as I want. And then I can use the each of the constructors differently, right? So I have the constructor takes nothing, the constructor takes two things, and they both will work. Okay? So we have the ability to create multiple constructors to create our objects. All right, we've run out of time. We will come back on Friday and talk some more about these issues, some nuances about why we make things private, and we'll move on from there. I will see you all on Friday.